written by a woman named Hannah. It didn't come from the book of Psalms, but you can tell by its style. It's a psalm, and it's a praise. Her particular psalm is triumphal in tone. She declares, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high." And in the Old Testament, a horn is a symbol of strength. "I'm at my strongest right now. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I delight in God's deliverance." In that same praise, reference is also made to the proud and the arrogant, who God himself is going to deal with them directly. She triumphantly declares that the weapons of her enemies are useless. They're broken. They can't be used against her anymore. And from her high and triumphant vantage point, she relishes in the knowledge that God has made right what once was wrong. Those who were fully satisfied in the past and they were proud of their accomplishments and where they'd arrived in life, today they're the hungry ones having to learn their lessons the hard way. What inspired such a triumphal song? If we're not careful, we might think that it's just a happy religious song. Maybe somebody said, "Hey, we're going to have a special service and it's going to be a happy service. Could you write a happy song?" That wasn't the context. Some might imagine that maybe this lady Hannah just woke up and had a particularly good night's rest and was in a good mood and the weather was beautiful and maybe that prompted this happy song. No. This praise has a years-long backstory of suffering and humiliation. This psalm is at a very different moment than the psalm that the same woman would have written just years prior. I want to give you some of the backstory, and it's mostly in the chapter before chapter 2 where Liz read. So chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. "There was a certain man from the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah." So the story starts out with a man named Elkanah. And you're going to see right away why there's trouble. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the one who wrote this praise, and the other Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man, Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. It was part of his habit, his routine, his character to worship the Lord and to go to the house of the Lord annually. And whenever the day would come for Elkanah to sacrifice at the house of the Lord, he'd bring his family with him, including his two wives, and he would give portions of meat to them, because after all, they're not at home. They can't go to the fridge like they would in those days, like they wish they could in those days. And he would pass out portions of meat to his family, and he would give a double portion to Hannah. And the Bible says he would do that for two reasons. One, because he loved her, and two, because the Lord had closed her womb. He had compassion on her. He loved her, and he felt bad for her. "I want you to know you're special to me." And he gave her a double portion. But because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, that's the Bible's term for the other wife, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. It didn't accidentally irritate her. She was trying to irritate her. And this went on year after year, the Bible says. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat the double portions that she'd been given. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping again? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? What a fool. If I ask Glenda, aren't I worth more to you than one son? Gentry wins out any day. Rightly so. And I would agree. Once when they had finished eating and drinking at the temple, Hannah could have no more. She stood up. She stood up near Eli the priest, who was sitting in his chair over by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, she began to pray to the Lord, the Bible says, weeping bitterly. This isn't good. This is not okay. And in her bitter weeping, she made a promise, a vow to the Lord. She said, "Lord Almighty, If you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give me a son, then I will give that son to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now let me explain that last part. She's giving part of what's called the Nazirite vow. Sometimes you had an option of dedicating your child to the Lord and say, I want him to be exclusively in the service of the Lord for the rest of his life, and he's going to carry a sign, a certain kind of sign in his body, and that is he'll never have his hair cut, and he'll never drink wine, and there are a few other rules that they would keep, which is, if you'll give me a son, I'll return him to you, and he'll be marked for service for you for all the days of his life. And as she kept on praying, Eli, the high priest, was watching her and was watching her mouth in particular. The Bible says Hannah was praying. She was groaning in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. She didn't have the energy in her grief to pour it out in volume. She just mouthed the words and wept bitterly. And Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. It's the house of the Lord, after all. Oh, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. This next comment is not my notes, but it struck me when I was studying for this message. I am moved by how often the Lord responds to the misery of his people. He's responding to her misery, and it caused me to remember when the Lord saw Israel in Egypt and heard their cries and saw their misery. It started to make a change. I remember when the Lord saw Moses before he was about to be slaughtered as a baby and saw the misery of his mother and rescued Moses. In great anguish and grief. The backstory of that great, wonderful, joyful praise that Liz read for us is a long history of year after year being bullied, being shamed, being attacked. Hannah knew that the place to go year after year in order to bring her offerings and to make her sacrifices was the house of God. She also knew that if her heart was overwhelmed with grief and she was full of shame or hopelessness, the place to bring that pain was also the house of God. And once Eli realized Hannah's pain and the rightness of where she brought it, he said to her, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you everything that you've asked of him. She said to him, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Hope had come. Faith had come. She could go home in peace. She says again, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way, ate something, no longer downcast. And what did Hannah and her family do after they received this blessing from the priest and this hope and faith from the Lord? Same thing they did before they were blessed. The Bible says early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. They didn't just grab their blessing and run. They presented themselves to the Lord again. Went home to their home in Ramah. And as you know, faith without works is dead. So here's what it says next. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. There's faith and works right there. So in the course of time, the Bible says, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. A year went by. It was time to make that annual trip to the house of the Lord again. The Bible says that when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy has been weaned, I'll take him and I'll present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Elkanah said, do what seems best for you. Stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was. God bless all of you who bring your children to church, young as they are. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, that high priest. She last saw him probably a few years ago. And she said to him, pardon me, sir, my lord. As surely as I live, I am that woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. You remember that day? I didn't have the energy to speak it out, but I mouthed it and you thought I was drunk. Look what I brought with me this time. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he, it's kind of referring to the boy, worship the Lord there. Already teaching her little kid, her little boy, to worship. And he worshiped the Lord there. There. Location, location, location. This whole story centers around where there is. I've referred to it each time, and I've spoken so far, as the house of the Lord. That house of the Lord was located in a particular town named Shiloh. One of the children that we're going to give to the Lord today is named Shiloh. For the rest of his life around here, he's going to be assigned to us to remind us, bring yourself and bring your kid to Shiloh. Meet the Lord at Shiloh. Pour your heart out at Shiloh. There was Shiloh, where the Israelites worshiped the Lord before the temple in Jerusalem was built. They worshiped him in Shiloh. Year after year, Hannah and her family traveled to Shiloh. In good times, in bad times. Making their gifts, offering sacrifices, offering themselves and even their family to the Lord. And it was in Shiloh that Hannah exclaimed that praise. My heart rejoices in the Lord. She'd brought her grief. Now she's bringing her praise. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. For I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you, no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, you prideful ones. Let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows. Let me repeat that beautiful thing. Those of you who carry a hurt, the Lord is a God who knows. And by him deeds are weighed, and the bows of the warrior are broken. Their weapons rendered useless. The prideful, those who looked down on you, dealt with by the Lord himself. This morning we have two families that are going to dedicate their children to the Lord. These parents are showing up again in the house of the Lord, as they have week after week, year after year. They're here to worship today, and they're here to offer their children to the Lord. And we are participating in the making of a praise. And we are participating in the making of a praise. As these families and we keep returning to the house of the Lord on good days and on bad days, the result will be, our lives will be a praise in the making. I want to introduce these families to you now. First of all, I wonder if I could have Micah and Lacey please join me. Can we give them a hand of welcome as they come?